तत्सवितुर्वरेण्यं भर्गो देवस्य धीमहि धियो यो न प्रचोदयात्। ॐ मे वी मेडिटेट ऑन दैट सुप्रीम बीइंग हु ड्वेल्स इन द हार्ट्स ऑफ ऑल। ही इज द सोर्स and sustenance of this universe. In Him we live, move, and have our being. May He illumine our hearts, and may He guide us in every way. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. We have been considering the qualifications of a spiritual aspirant. As I have many times pointed out to you, that religion does not consist in acceptance of any dogmas or doctrines, or even acceptance or belief in a God. But God is to be realized, to be experienced. God is. Now again, where is that God? In the self. And to realize God means to know yourself. That thou art. I am Brahman. That's the supreme truth that each one of us has to realize, has to experience. And this is not any one particular religion, but this is the principle of a universal religion. It is the eternal religion. That Atman, the self within, is Brahman, God. What Christ pointed out by saying, kingdom of God is within. And for that, all you need is to transform your whole life, to purify the mind. You transform your life by purifying your heart and mind. There is no dogma here, no doctrine. As I said, not even belief in God. You see, when people say, I don't believe in God, what do they mean? They don't believe in God that somebody else defines as God. But as this great philosopher Shankara points out, to believe in God, you see, it is something self-evident. Belief in God is self-evident because God is the Atman, the self. And you cannot inquire about anything else unless you believe in yourself. Before you want to reason out anything, before you want to find out anything, you believe that you are, you exist. Now, what is the search? Try to know what you are. That is the search. And so you see, there's no question of belief or unbelief, no question of dogma or doctrine. You see, your whole life is centered around yourself. Each one of us is living in a world of our own. We create a world of our own. And, for instance, I want this or I want that. I want knowledge or I want freedom or I want to be happy. But before you want all these, find out who is this that is wanting all these. Center your search to your own self and you will find God. You know, you may seek to find God all outside of yourself, in this church or that church, in this temple or that temple, in Christ or Buddha or Ramakrishna. You may seek to find God through all these, and ultimately you come to this conclusion and understanding and realization and experience that the God that you have been seeking outside of yourself, that Christ or that Ramakrishna or that Buddha that you have been seeking, is already seated within yourself. And that's you. And in order that that experience is possible, is you have to free ourselves from all cravings and desires for the external and outside things and objects. It's a simple job, simple thing. But again, it is very, very difficult. Because we are seeking outside. We can't give up that. So it needs training, disciplining. Now again, what are the disciplines? These are the four disciplines that we have been considering. First is, you must inquire. What is real in the midst of everything that vanishes? In yourself, for instance. That's where the search has to go, begin. What is real in me? Can I call myself this body? This body is fleeting, changing, growing, ultimately meets with death. Mind, senses, ego, they're all changing, always in motion. But behind all these changes, behind all these fleeting things that we call ourselves I or me or mine, there is a witness which does not change, which is eternal. With the death of the body, or even death of the mind, that remains. And if you analyze, you will find that though you have changed, your body, mind, senses, everything has changed, your environment has changed, your interests have changed, and yet you are you. Find that you. Know that to be the one reality. And you will find that you, not within yourself only, you will find that self everywhere. That one Brahman, one reality dwelling everywhere. The self within you and the self within me are not two different selves. See, one reality. That which is within is also without. And he is smaller than the smallest, greater than the greatest. Because it's not limited by space. And so this discrimination between the real and unreal, and when you come to discriminate that, you will find everything is fleeting, everything is changing, but behind all these changes, there is just one reality. Call that Atman or Brahman or God or Christ or Ramakrishna or Buddha or whatever name you may give. Then again, when you have that discrimination, naturally your mind will have to be controlled. In this way, renunciation, you know, you should not have, must have to give up, renounce all desires for the pleasures of the objective world. Because if you run after flesh, then your mind cannot grasp that reality. It will be disturbed mind. You have to gain control. Then again, six treasures. First is tranquility. And this tranquility has been defined. To detach the mind from all objective things by continually seeing their imperfection and to direct it steadfastly toward Brahman, its goal, that is called tranquility. You know, all these definitions of the different treasures come to that one truth. Direct your thought towards Brahman, towards God, towards the Atman, towards the reality. Then dhamma, to detach both kinds of sense organs, those of perception and those of action, from objective things and withdraw them to rest in their respective centers, this is called self-control. That means your mind is attached to God only. True mental poise consists in not letting the mind react to external stimuli. You see, I had to react when the light went dim. You see? To endure, but I have to keep my mind, you see, in certain thoughts, and as such, I have to be in the external world, otherwise I could. You know, teaching, for instance, when Christ taught, let me give you what I learned from my master. He said that when I am in that state, I see Brahman everywhere. I see you, everybody, Brahman playing in so many forms. How can I teach? But again I come down. And then I see you and your ignorance, your limitations, your weaknesses, then I try to teach. So a teacher also, you see, a Christ, or a Ramakrishna, or a Buddha, or a Krishna, they keep up an ignorance as it were. Come down from that highest level of consciousness and keep up a sense of ego, which is the ripe ego. You see, as Ramakrishna gave this explanation, that it's one ocean and there is a stick here. That stick, that line, is the line of ego of knowledge, he called it. And this side, I, and that side, mother, or God. It's one ocean, one existence. Then, forbearance, to endure all kinds of afflictions without rebellion, complaint, or lament, this is called forbearance. A firm conviction based upon intellectual understanding that the teachings of the scriptures and of one's master are true, this is called by the sages the faith which leads to realization of the reality. You see, this faith also is very important. Faith in this sense. Faith in the words of the scriptures and the words of the guru or teacher. Now, words of the scriptures and words of the master, you accept why? Because these are experimental truths. The great teachers and prophets experienced the truth of God, and what they experienced, that is recorded in the scriptures, not theology, not doctrines. And, in other words, what do the scriptures teach? God is. And God can be realized and experienced. That's all the truth you need to know from the scriptures. You know, again, if you go to read the scriptures, for instance, as Ramakrishna used to say, there is a mixture of sand and sugar. And you have to take the sugar and leave aside the sand. You know, you can't accept every word of the Bible or every word of the Vedas. No. Some nonsense also is there. Sand. It's quite bold of me to say like that. But that's the fact. You can't accept all the words. You read the Upanishads, for instance, which are considered revelations. And you see many things which are just not applicable today. And what is the truth? Truth of God, that is eternal. What would be applicable yesterday, today and tomorrow? It will remain the same. And you find in the Upanishads sugar. That eternal truth. So again you will find in the Bible that eternal truth. But sand also, plenty. To concentrate the intellect repeatedly upon the pure Brahman and to keep it fixed there always, this is called self-surrender. Self-surrender, a highest truth. And what does that mean? To concentrate and keep our mind repeatedly, constantly in Brahman, in God. This does not mean soothing the mind like a baby with idle thoughts. You see, we have to understand that meditation doesn't mean you just sit quietly and just idle thoughts coming and you are enjoying your thoughts, you know. I've seen people sitting for hours meditating. And what are they meditating upon? They're bathing their mind, soothing their mind with idle thoughts. That's not meditation. It's hard labor. Constantly you have to be alert. And keep your mind fixed, concentrated upon that one ideal of God, of Godhead that you have. Longing for liberation is the will to be free from the fetters forced by ignorance, beginning with the ego sense and so on, down to the physical body itself, through the realization of one's true nature. This is longing for liberation. That is, to know your true nature and thus be freed from the fetters and bondages and limitations of life and death. Then he says, even though this longing for liberation may be present in a slight or moderate degree, it will grow intense through the grace of the teacher and through the practice of renunciation and of virtues such as tranquility, etc., and it will bear fruit. You see, longing for liberation, that's the most important thing. Without that, you would not be here. You would not be listening to me. But if there is that even a little desire, that is to be intensified. When it becomes intensified, when that longing becomes intense, as I've often said, then the revelation comes. But even if it is little, there is a little desire, gradually that becomes intensified if you practice these disciplines. Even though this longing for liberation may be present in a slight or moderate degree, it will grow intense through the grace of the teacher and through the practice of renunciation or virtues such as tranquility, etc., and it will bear fruit. When renunciation and the longing for liberation are present to an intense degree within a man, then the practice of tranquility and the other virtues will bear fruit and lead to the goal. This is a vicious circle or virtuous circle, whatever you may call it. But if you have that even desire and then try to struggle and practice all these virtues like tranquility, self-control and all that, then your longing will be intense. Then again, if your longing becomes intense, you will naturally practice all these disciplines. That is, you do not have to struggle at all to practice these disciplines. You become perfect in them. When renunciation and longing for liberation are weak, tranquility and the other virtues are a mere appearance like the mirage in the desert. In other words, you have to have that longing for liberation. Without that, nothing works. And that is the thing that never forget the ideal. Never forget that you are to realize God. That is your ideal. Never forget. Then everything will become all right. Among all means of liberation, devotion is supreme. To seek earnestly to know one's real nature, this is said to be devotion. Among all means of liberation, that is, practice of tranquility or self-control or mental poise and all these virtues, or renunciation of desires and cravings, of all the amongst them, devotion is the supreme thing. If you have devotion, then everything happens. Now again, what is devotion? This is very interesting. You see, Shankara is teaching the path of knowledge, jnana. And so, to him, devotion means to seek earnestly to know one's real nature. Then he says, in other words, devotion can be defined as the search for the reality of one's own Atman. All the time seeking for the Atman, discriminating. That is thinking of the Atman. The seeker after the reality of the Atman who possesses the above mentioned qualification should approach an illumined teacher from whom he can learn the way to liberation from all bondage. Of course, you know, this again is a little exaggeration, because if you have all these qualifications, you know, I don't think you need to approach a teacher at all. Because then the illumination comes. But you approach a teacher in order that through his grace you can acquire these qualifications. So Shankara goes to the extreme a little at times, you know. But here is a very interesting point. He says devotion is constantly searching for the reality, searching for the Atman. And a teacher of bhakti yoga, path of devotion, for instance, Ramanuja or Narada, they define bhakti, devotion, as constant recollectedness of God. Now again, Very interesting, that constant recollectedness of God, then he points out that you can recollect or remember somebody who is not present. But in this case, recollectedness of God means to see God. God is not to be searched after, but God is present within you, present everywhere. Recognize that and see that. That's one truth. Try to remember and convince yourself that God is the Atman who is dwelling within you, and see Him. Feel His presence is there. I have some questions here also. Why do you suppose artists paint halos around the heads of saints? I do not know. I am not an artist. Well, they try to show that there is a holiness attached to it. How is it possible to pray without ceasing when, for example, you have a job? That's a problem. You know, when, as there's an illustration, Sri Ramakrishna gave this illustration, that when the daughter-in-law in the house, you know, in a joint family in India, the daughter-in-law is pregnant, and so as the pregnancy advances, her job, her action, her work is taken away, and she's given more and more leisure. And then when the baby is born, then she's busy with the baby and no more job for her for some time. And he gave that illustration to show that when you come to a standpoint, to a level of consciousness, when you are busy with God all the time, your job is taken away. Then of course you may say, but how can I live? I have to work, I have to earn my money, earn money to make my living. But here again, if one constantly keeps his recollectedness in God, then somehow, you know, your wants are met. That also is the law. But then don't give up your job. But keep your job and at the same time try to think of God. And then if there comes a time when you are really so absorbed in God that you can't keep your job, well, there's no help for it. You know, there was one great sage, Ramprasad. Those of you who have read the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna will remember how Sri Ramakrishna used to sing the songs of Ramprasad. This Ramprasad became a saint by singing songs. And he was a clerk in an office. And he had to keep an account. But his brain would not work, you know. He would begin to write songs. Songs would come to him. He would write songs. And then, first month when the boss came and wanted to see the account, he couldn't produce any. And so he went through that account book and he read these songs. And he was so impressed, he said, never mind, you don't have to do the job. I'll give you the 30 rupees a month that you are earning here, and you go and write your songs and sing your songs. So you see, he was taken care of immediately. Om Hari. sahanabhavato sahanavunaktu sahavirjam karavavahai tejasvinavadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om. May Brahman protect us. May he guide us. May he give us strength and right understanding. May we have love for all. May our study bring light unto us. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace.